Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show in Milwaukee. And Sparky, last night, was there anything that you couldn't be more pleased with?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I didn't like. I didn't like the defensive effort, especially there in the early going. Giannis couldn't get going there in the first quarter. There was a couple calls. Well, the first call, the Giannis first call charge against Jaylen Brown was garbage. Jaylen Brown was clearly moving. And Giannis didn't get the call, and the second-year player got the call. That should not happen in the NBA. I think we're to the point now where Giannis has earned superstar call status, and hopefully that will continue at some point this year. So I wasn't very pleased about that. I wasn't very pleased that we continued to miss threes. At one point, I think they missed seven straight three-point shots. In the second half. So there was sloppy play by the Bucks. There was sloppy play by Boston. It wasn't a great game, but a pretty game to watch as far as if you were, you know, showing somebody what the NBA looks like. But there's a lot of positives, too, to take out of it, too. But, yeah, I mean, there's more than enough stuff for Jason Kidd to go over and tell them that they have to work on to get better.
I thought last night they ran an offense that I had liked. I watched a lot of picks last night. I watched a lot of darting last night. I watched a lot of ISOs last night. I agree with you. It didn't look good early on. I thought at times, though, when they needed a lockdown defense, it wasn't as if they played this stifling style. But I thought at times you saw a few guys step up and play some defense, some good backhanded knockaways when you talked about passes and such. Some decent boards last night, although when Boston missed, they were missing big off the back of the rim. But I thought there was some positive to talk about. And Giannis, when they needed him most, he poured it on in the fourth quarter.
I think when you talk about the positives in this game, one thing I liked, and we'll see if they continue throughout the year, was letting Middleton essentially run the offense when Brogdon and Giannis were on the bench versus letting Dellavedova run the offense and Dellavedova come off the ball a little bit more. I like that. We've seen in the past with Middleton the last couple of years, his ability to play point forward. So I hope they continue to do that going forward. That was a positive. Giannis kind of got in his group there in the second quarter to help the Bucks gain some momentum. And then, like you said, really kind of took over there in the fourth quarter, too, when they needed him. I was really, really aggressive. Even to start the game, even though he wasn't scoring necessarily and couldn't get into a rhythm or whatever, he really took the ball and wanted to assert himself early in that basketball game. I really think that's going to be something you're going to see all year. They're going to demand of him, and he'll demand of himself, to be far more aggressive offensively. And even after the game, you know, everybody was praising Giannis. Jason Kidd, like being Jason Kidd, well, you know, I mean, some guys that were wide open that he missed. He could have had a couple more boards than he actually had, and he's never going to let Giannis get comfortable or get complacent. He's always going to be demanding more out of Giannis, and that's good for Giannis. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And Dellavedova, you know, as much as I get on Dellavedova, and I do all the time, he hit a huge shot down the stretch there, and Giannis had faith in his teammate and passed that ball to him, and Dellavedova hit it in crunch time, and that's big stuff there, because if Giannis is going to give you the ball late, he wants you to hit that shot, just like Jordan or Paxson or anything like that. So.
But how much do you trust Dellavedova? Because it's kind of like when LeBron would pass the ball. It's great that he's not playing selfish basketball, but how much do you trust Dellavedova, you know, consistently throughout the season?
Well, I think there's a difference here. One, Giannis can't hit that jumper, at least as of not yet. So from that perspective, yeah, he could have went to the rim, tried to draw a foul, whatever he wanted to do there, or pass the guy the wide-open three. Do I trust Dellavedova? No. We talked about it last night on the postgame show. He had 15 points. I'm like, hey, if he gives you 12 to 15 points consistently every night, this bench is going to be a lot better than people think. Now, can he do that? That's a big question. I mean, his inconsistencies last year really hurt this team, as Toledovich's inconsistencies. And Toledovich doesn't look any different than last year. He didn't have a good game last night either. Off the bench in limited time he played, but Greg Monroe played well off the bench. Dellavedova played well off the bench. So, yeah, again, after game one, and considering Boston had already played a game, had some type of momentum coming off the video by Gordon Hayward that they played before the game and so forth, to be able to come back and win that game and now get ready for LeBron at the Bradley Center tomorrow night, you know the Bucks will be jacked up for that. So we'll see how things play out.
How did let me ask you this. When you talk about the rotation, and you talked about Jason Kidd last night, how far ahead of the game do you think Jason Kidd is, knowing pretty much everybody's back, knowing what your rotation is and knowing what you already have? Because last year it seemed like, you know, 60 games into the season, they were still tinkering with the lineup. He's got something in his mind that he's already set on.
Every year he does this, where it's 2 months into the season, and then we get to January, and then he starts to shorten the rotation a little bit and start going in the right direction. I'm anxious to see how this whole thing is going to play out, because you're right. He should know the rotation for sure by this point. Now, I don't think you're going to see guys playing 40, 43 minutes regularly on this team. That's not what Jason Kidd believes. Jason Kidd believes in guys playing 30 to 34 minutes somewhere in that area and keeping them fresh for the rest of the season. So we'll see how this goes. I think he really wanted that game last night against Boston because they're going to have to compete against Boston. I think he really, really wants this game against Cleveland probably tomorrow night. Then their next home game is Saturday night. I bet you the minutes will be pulled back somewhat to the starters and be getting heavy minutes the first two games.
Looking at some of the other support staff last night, who else do you think, and we talked about this during the week, we had Jim Paschke and company on, but who else do you think is going to have to step up on this team? Because we all know Giannis. We know Thon is eventually going to have to, because Thon with only 2 points last night, even though he looks physically much, much better. We know he's going to have to progress down the road. But who else is going to have to bring it, in your opinion?
Well, Thon would be a huge asset. Another thing we were talking about last night off the bench, John Henson played really well off the bench. But again, that's another player that was really inconsistent. I think if you look at a guy that could take a big step as Brogdon. There were a lot of people wanting to praise Brogdon, saying, oh, boy, you guys never give him enough credit and so forth. Well, athletically, he's just never going to be that dynamic-type basketball player. He is what he is. But if he can average, 15, 16 points a game and increase his average from last year, that would help a lot.
What else did you see last night that really kind of either got you one way or the other? Last night you had a couple of minutes out of Rashad Vaughn that really was more, just kind of being on the floor, taking up some space. Teletovich had a couple of minutes last night. What was it, about 10 minutes or something like that? And he was 0 for, didn't do a whole lot. Had a couple of boards, but beyond that, wasn't really overwhelmingly impressive. So give me some of your thoughts as this team moves forward.
I think with this basketball team, it really is going to come down to how good their bench is going forward this year. I mean, if you look at the Celtics bench last night, that is just littered with youth and inexperience. They're really counting on rookies and second and third year players to really have a big impact for that team this year. And that's a big, big roll of the dice. Boston Celtics, they wasted their depth by doing that Kyrie Irving trade with Cleveland. You look at the Bucks bench, there's quite a bit of experience on this team. If you look at Teletovich, Dellavedova, Greg Monroe, John Henson, you've got experience on that bench. Jason Terry didn't even play last night. He's on that bench. I got a couple rookies, too, in Wilson and Brown, but I'm not sure how much they'll actually play throughout the course of the year. So this bench, for as veteran as it is, they need to be consistent and provide production when the starters go out. If they do that, this Bucks team is going to be a tough team to beat if they get solid bench play this year.
Did the Bucks do the right thing and not giving the max deal to Jabari?
Absolutely. There's no way. Everybody wants to bring up the Joel Embiid deal that he signed, but first of all, they got the injury restrictions in there. Second of all, the other thing is, look, he's playing. Now, they said, last night he played over 20 minutes last night in his first game. Jabari Parker's not playing. He's running around, he's practicing, he's doing whatever, but he's not going to play to January or February. I'm not going to pay some guy max money or whatever the case may be to a guy coming off of two blown ACLs who's not even ready to play in a regular season game yet. So, we did predictions yesterday in the afternoon show with Milwaukee on the fan, and everybody kind of laughed at me, but I said 52 wins. And the reason I said 52 wins is because I think this team coming back together, like you said earlier, and being able to play at this level while other teams are trying to figure out rotations, trying to figure out chemistry and everything else, this team should be 7-8 games over 500 before Jabari Parker comes back. And I think when Jabari Parker comes back, he's going to play like a man on a mission to get paid this summer. And I think that's what really gets you over the top and gets you on that second half push.
How much stock, and I know fans freaked out over it, but how much, and I think I might have even heard this on your show when I was panning around, but how much stock do you put into the fact that I think it was Twitter that says that Jabari Parker's hometown status or living status or wherever he was is no longer in Milwaukee. It's now down in South Chicago.
Yeah, that was on social media. I think that might have been Twitter. People were sending that to me. Fans of the show were sending that to me, freaking out. I don't know. I don't know his reason. Obviously, I haven't talked to him to ask him. And a lot of times people overreact to things they see on social media. It very well could just be that he's a little ticked off right now and just switched it back because you know, they didn't take care of him. But you're talking about a guy that, as good a dude as anybody can come up with, a good character guy, high character guy, right? Though he does the right thing. Always been unselfish to a point where, you know, I've criticized him for being too unselfish on the floor and wanting him to be more aggressive offensively in the past. So it's hard to really go after Jabari Parker for anything at this point. We're just going to have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out. And I really think that even if he plays well in the second half, and it comes time and restricted free agency, if somebody gives him a max deal, I just think it's going to be tough for the Bucks to match a max deal knowing that Chris Middleton is sitting there and they're going to have to pay him too. And I think that really might be what it comes down to, Middleton or Jabari Parker, and where do they want to spend their money?
Well, that's just it. I mean, how well he plays. Do you think they win that series last year against Toronto if Jabari Parker's playing?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Is he that kind of a difference maker? If he's a difference maker, then you have to pick your poison.
Yeah, I think they definitely win that series. The other thing is Middleton was not good in that series.
Right.
So that hurt too because he was coming off of his injury.
Yeah.
So you really didn't have a full team, and you really haven't had a full team since you've had Jabari Parker. You have not had Jabari, Middleton, and Giannis for a full season to see how that whole thing looks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just when you got Middleton back, that's when Jabari went down. As a matter of fact, I think it was like that night, right? It was the same night, yeah.
Same night.
Yeah. So, all right. Good stuff, Sparky, and we'll talk to you again next week, pal.
Sounds good.
Everybody, see you. There you go. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show on the flagship station out of Milwaukee, which is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. And you can always catch his stuff there on the Fan app as well. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.